Hey, everybody, welcome to The Bulwark. I'm Tim Miller, delighted to be here with New Jersey Congressman Josh Gottheimer. Sir, I think maybe we have some disagreements over the Iran war we can hash out a little bit, and so I want to get into that. But first, just because things are moving so fast, I just want to kind of lay out where things are as we tape. Obviously, this is Tuesday afternoon. The president this morning was posting about how a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. About an hour ago, Pakistan put out a public statement saying that they're asking for a two-week ceasefire. We're seeing some reporting literally right now as we're talking that maybe there's some optimism about that from both sides. We'll see how it shakes out. So that's where things stand. When we scheduled this conversation, you'd put out a statement talking about how you were different from some of your other your fellow Democrats because you were more proactive in supporting the decision to act against the Iranian regime. I'm wondering if that's where you still stand here about a month in, a little over.
Well, so, you know, what hasn't changed is my view that actually, if you look at my release from a month ago, I think it's very consistent with my position now, which is one, we've got to do everything we can to crush the Iranian government in the sense of going back to the late 70s, this regime has literally killed scores of Americans, attacked our allies, attacked and killed our service members and our bases, through their terror proxies, killed thousands more. None of that's changed. Their banner is death to America, as you know, we're the great Satan. According to them, they've took our embassy and turned it into a hate museum against Americans, right? So, you know, and they continue to threaten our democracy and freedom. None of that's changed at all. They also, you know, from I'm on the Intelligence Committee, without going into specifics, although some of this has been declassified by the Secretary of State talking about it. But as you know, they've been very aggressive, both in their nuclear program, but also in their ballistic missile and drone programs, further threatening our country, especially if they build, if they have enough capacity to stop us from getting to a bomb, if they choose to jump the line and enrich. So that hasn't changed. And I also said the reason why I voted for the War Powers Resolution back then, that we voted on in the Congress, as you know, was that the administration had completely failed, in my opinion, to make the case to the American public and to Congress, right? And in terms of what the reasoning was for going in, and also what the objectives were when they went in and what they are today. They've still failed completely to outline those objectives to me in a way that to the American public and to the Congress, including progress made. And, you know, the president gave a speech a few days ago, which probably should have given, in my opinion, on day one of all this. And so that hasn't changed either. Like, I think they've completely failed to
Did the speech clarify anything for you? I didn't feel like I got a lot of clarification on why we're doing this.
Did it clarify anything for me? No, I mean, I think it at least took pains to say to the country, hey, by the way, here's why what we're worried about in Iran, right? And here's why we're doing this, which the president really hadn't done. And by the way, their objectives, as you know, completely shifting all over the place for the last, you know, 40 plus days. They're like we're all over the map. Yeah. It's like that scene in Airplane, you know, like when they were like, we're at 5,000 feet, 8,000 feet, 10,000 feet. They're all over the place. And I kind of felt like that was the way when I'm you watch their communications on this of like what their objectives were. Was it terror? You know, running their terror program, their ballistic missile program on drones? Is it getting to a regime change, right? Which is a whole different, that's a whole different objective. They talked about the Navy and diminishing the Navy, which I think is critically important. But again, you know, it's without laying these things out and understanding what victory looks like, it's tough to go after it.
Right. So do you have any sense of what the objectives are right now?
No, I mean, if you go on, do I have any more clarity publicly from what I think the objectives are, like without shifting? Ultimately, no. I mean, I think where what they've said consistently, if you're looking at like the map of where they've been consistent and what the president said, it's concern about the nuclear them having a nuclear weapon, right? That's been consistent. And they've consistently talked about diminishing the Navy. Otherwise, sure. The rest of it is kind of has shifted all over the place. And by the way, they have not once come before a congressional committee to talk to us about whether there's one. And I think as a member of Congress and as a member of an oversight committee related to that, I have a huge problem with that.
So we're aligned in all those critiques. I guess then my question is, why not just oppose this? Clearly, I don't understand why there'd be any possible interest from a Democratic member in a war when we don't know what the objectives are, when you can't trust the people running it, when they haven't made their case to you. Why not just oppose it?
As somebody who is obviously on the Intelligence Committee and who's focused on the Middle East for a long time, containing the threat, right? Containing Iran, which I know the government there, not the people who they've massacred tens of thousands of indiscriminately, including children. But knowing what kind of threat Iran poses, right? I believe the importance of stopping that threat is critical. But, you know, there's different ways to stop a threat.
Right? Sure.
And especially, I don't believe regime change right now, for instance, is something that you could do unless you're going to put troops on the ground. And I don't support that. Right. So that doesn't mean that I don't still believe it's a threat. And I work for America, not for a political party.
Hey, so this time of year, I'm trying to stay consistent with eating well. But between work, workouts and commuting, cooking just isn't happening as much as it should. Tempo Meals, however, gives me fresh, balanced meals ready in 2 minutes so I can eat the way I want without losing time. Each meal is perfectly portioned for lunch or dinner, and it's ready in just 2 minutes. That means real food, real fast, without the sad desk lunch or the drive-through regret. With 20 new recipes every week made from nutrient-rich ingredients, Tempo keeps things exciting and helps you stay consistent with healthy eating habits. Even busy athletes like Maria Sharapova swear by Tempo for balanced meals that help them stay on top of their wellness goals. And no matter your goals, there's a Tempo meal for you. So protein-packed meals with up to 30 grams of protein, calorie-conscious, or even GLP-1 balanced meals. It's convenient but flexible enough to fit the way you want to eat. For a limited time, Tempo is offering our listeners 60% off their first box. Go to tempomeals.com/bulwarktakes. That's tempomeals.com/bulwarktakes for 60. That's 60% off your first box. Tempomeals.com/bulwarktakes. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So I guess I'm just confused. So do you want him to keep going? Like, what do you want to happen tonight? Like, would you like him to say, you know what, we're pulling out of this. We're going to try to do a face-saving deal. Or do you want them to keep pressing forward?
What I'd like is to find out we get a deal, which is going to reopen the straits, is going to make sure that we can get gas prices down and get, right, because we've got 20% of the world's oil going through there and gas going through there. I'd like to know some commitments on their nuclear program and their drone and ballistic missile program and understand what we're going to do financially to contain their terror proxy program, you know, supporting Hamas and Hezbollah and Palestine Islamic Jihad, all threats us.
Isn't that where we were 6 weeks ago? And the strait was open 6 weeks ago. They had bombed the nuclear facilities last year.
Tim, I mean, I'm hoping we find out. Oh, you mean if we, no, but if we massively diminish those programs, that would be a good thing.
And I guess if the regime is still in charge, though, if they've had a regime transition from an 86-year-old guy that was going to die soon anyway to his son, and the IRGC is still in charge, and they've demonstrated that they have control over the strait, and, you know, I mean, sure, they've lost some ships and missiles, but that could be replenished. Like, great. Like, why would we did that? We caused all this harm. We caused all this international harm. We've pissed off our allies in Europe and Asia and Australia. People at home have higher gas prices. Like, for what end? We got rid of a couple of their missiles and ships. Who cares?
Don't say who cares in that. Cause what if we told you, hey, by the way, we've set back their missile, drone, and nuclear program several years. Would you consider that a win or a loss?
I mean, they said that last year, and now we're in a war with them again. And I think that China and Russia could replenish them. China and Russia, we're seeing Russia's replenishing them now. Obviously, that's how they shut down our plane. Like, they didn't, you know, have... So there are other ways for them to access weapons going forward.
Again, say we knew that we significantly set back their program in that regard? Would you still, you would say, well, it doesn't really matter.
I'd say that's still a loss. Yeah. Cause we've given them, now they know they can control the Strait. So we've given them more power and leverage. We've alienated our European allies and our Asian allies, and people in America who had no idea what the purpose was of this war, who did not feel at all threatened by their ballistic missile capabilities, are going to suffer major economic consequences. I mean, they're suffering at the pump already, but with the supply chain disruption, there's going to be massive economic consequences to this. And so that is the deal. We pushed it back their capabilities 2 years to screw over our own people. That feels like a terrible deal.
Well, not in the sense. Here's where I look at it just a little differently. And I hear, by the way, that perspective. I would say I look at it from the angle of, if it turns out that we've significantly diminished their capabilities when it comes to drone, missile, and nuclear, and we actually are successful doing that. If that's where it turns out, and some of this stuff I can't talk about, but we also need to learn more and see what kind of any kind of negotiated ending of this is. Again, until I see that, I don't know. But say that let's just play that out. If that happens, I'd say that's a huge win, because what I was worried about, and what I was worried about, and it's not something that we should just brush aside as Americans who care about our security, their development of their ballistic missile program development was not something that we should just look the other way on, and their drone program development is not something that we should just look the other way on. And you could say, well, that doesn't matter. But as somebody who's worried about our interests in the region and worried about us,
What about our issues that interest at home, though? I mean, I don't think you can make the case. How can you make case to the American people that the Iranian missile program was a real threat to America? And it was a threat that was so great that it was worth harming their economic interests.
Do you think them having a nuclear weapon would be a disaster?
Yeah, sure. But they've been on the cusp of having a nuclear weapon for a long time. We had a deal with them under the Obama administration that Trump had taken us out of. There were other potential options for preventing them from having. We did nothing
to diminish their terror program. That deal did nothing to address their terror program, which continued.
Sure. And do you think that we're safer though today from terror? That Americans are safer? That Americans are safer from a terror threat today than we were a month ago? It seems to me that the risk of retaliation is higher. The threat of terror is probably higher today, I would assume.
I think that part of my frustration, and getting back to your central question where you started,
sure,
this, yeah, part of my frustration, because I'm just giving you a sense of what would I hope to get out of this? That's what I would hope, sure, to get out of. Part of my frustration is some of the questions that we're both asking each other, we don't know the answers to. And that's actually what's deeply frustrating. If some of the answer turned out to be yes, some things I know the answer to, but let's say that some of the things turned out to be yes, I actually would come down and say the country, Americans are safer because of it. If it turns out the answers are no, or actually we have not diminished certain things that I think we have as well as I'd like to know, and that's in the end, we'll find out. Well, then, by the way, then I'll have a different opinion about it.
You're on the Intelligence Committee, though. If you don't know, nobody knows. So why not oppose this? I just don't understand how we could not just be clearly in opposition to a program where we don't know what the objectives are. We can't trust the people running it. They lie. They're liars. They have demonstrated a lack of competence, at least at the political level. The military has obviously demonstrated competence. But, we're going to trust Trump and Pete Hegseth and just take our chances. Hopefully it works. That's where you're at.
I fundamentally know that the Iranian government is an enemy of our country and very close allies with our other enemies, China and Russia and North Korea. I know that they are dangerously close to having a nuclear weapon, and that's unacceptable. I know that their missile program advanced significantly. I know that their drone program advanced significantly. I know that that poses a massive threat. Their terror program has advanced massively. And I know they're a major threat to the United States of America. And so knowing that, this is not about Donald Trump or anybody else. This is about standing up.
He's the president. You think the Iranian mullahs are a greater threat to the American people than Donald Trump getting us into this war? You think the Iranian mullahs are a greater threat? You are more scared of them?
The Iranian government has posed a massive threat to the United States. Do I think that Donald Trump has handled this well? Back to the thing we were talking about. No, obviously not. And I said that.
Yeah, obviously not. So why would we trust him to do something if we know he isn't going to handle it well? Well, this is a very high stakes situation. I don't think anybody, you know, the Strait of Hormuz has now been closed.
We've got the best general, because it's not just Donald Trump that runs this. We've got the best generals in the world and the best military in the world, the best intelligence in the world, the best intelligence community.
I mean, but our generals are not the ones that are bleeding out. A whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. That's the president. That's their boss.
Yes, but okay, but fine.
So why would you? So yeah, it's absurd. Why would you let a guy that would tweet that be in charge of a war where American lives are at risk?
Well, because who's going to be? We have a commander in chief. That's his job. What do you want?
Yeah, to oppose him, I think. To say that as a Democratic representative, you do not think that an unhinged commander in chief should be getting us into a war where he's promising genocide in Iran.
The reason why I opposed it, why I supported the War Powers Resolution a couple weeks ago, because I opposed him. I made it very clear. But like, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to support our servicemen and women. It doesn't mean I'm not going to back the great work of our military and intelligence community. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to say the government of Iran needs to be crushed.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I think. So well, I mean, you know, so you're
kind of for it in the abstract. Like you wish it would work well, but you don't know what the objectives are and you don't, you know, want to do anything to constrain
I have a huge problem with how this thing's being executed from how it's being executed. The goal of crushing Iran, I think, is the right thing. I think not giving us hearings is a problem. I think not giving us more information, the country and the Congress, is a huge problem. I think firing the Army Chief of Staff, huge problem. Right. So if you asked me, like, do I think the goal of massively diminishing Iran is a good thing? Totally. Do I think the way this is being executed is going well? No.
We're stronger? Do you think we're in a better place now than we were 6 weeks ago, economically, geopolitically, from a safety standpoint? Do you think we're in a better or worse place than we were 6 weeks ago?
I think if we've diminished their military, I think we're stronger if we've diminished their military.
Come on. Really? Yeah. I mean, we've lost billions of dollars of military materiel that we're going to now have to fund again. Our economic situation is worse. Our relationship with our allies is worse.
If they had 10,000 ballistic missiles, just I'm picking a number yesterday, and they have 2,000 today.
Yeah. Were they going to shoot 8,000 of them at Florida or New Jersey? Like, what was the risk of that?
You know, their missiles are longer range than we expected. They could shoot them at our allies in Europe. They could threaten us. They could threaten
our allies in Europe aren't on board with this. They're now hostile to us.
You're asking me one question. I'm answering you. You're saying, you asked me a safety question.
Okay.
You asked me,
we're safer.
You asked me a safety question. I said if we diminish their missiles and their drone program and diminish their nuclear program and their terror programs, the answer would be yes. But part of the frustration is we don't have all the answers that I'd like to have. I've seen some of the things, and with some of the things I've seen, I think we've made progress in some areas. But you're right. In terms of like the Straits of Hormuz right now, no, that's not acceptable what's going on in the Straits of Hormuz. Would I like to have actually have deeper, like, would I like the president to have been handled this with the country better? Yup. Would I like him to engage the allies? Yup. Would I like him done things better all along? Yes. But again, Iran, you asked me about as somebody who studied the region.
I got it.
I think diminishing Iran is a good thing. And the answer, you keep trying to get me to say no to that. My answer is yes. Diminishing Iran is a good thing.
No, I'm just trying to understand. I disagree. I was just trying to understand your position. The son-in-law, I'm curious about that. The president's son-in-law was, in the Situation Room discussing this. He was at the negotiation table with Iran. He has received money from Saudi Arabia, who is obviously also supporting this effort. He's in business dealings with Saudi Arabia and other people in the region. Does that concern you at all? I find it hard to imagine that he has the appropriate security clearance for this, given all of his conflicts. I'm just wondering, being on the Intelligence Committee, if that's something that you're concerned
about. You're asking me like if I'm like am I good with the way he like bring like who he brings around the table? No, of course. No. Like I don't know the way he does that. No,
well, I don't know. Well, I guess you would know more than me. I know is that Jared Kushner is receiving money from MBS, and the Jared Kushner is also involved at the Board of Peace, and he's pushing to have condos in Gaza, and then simultaneously he's our lead negotiator.
Yeah, you got people in the government with cryptocurrency interests. You got people doing all these things that are insane. Yeah, right. By the way,
so that would lead me to not trust the people to do the war, I guess, is what, where I'm going.
Yeah, I mean, but by the way, like, if your question is coming back to like where I think our strengths are, I think our servicemen and women incredible. I think our leadership incredible. I think our intelligence, the day to day intelligence community, incredible, the best in the world. Like, and I have great. Do I have great confidence in our Tulsi Gabbard? No, absolutely not. Like, no, right? But my point is, like, the people who brief, you know, and do a lot of, who do the day to day work and who are incredible out there, I have a lot of faith in them, and I think we're very blessed to have such good people.
I think that we have great military capabilities. I'm deeply concerned about our political leadership. You mentioned Tulsi,
as you should be. Yeah.
Yeah. She was testifying. You were asking her about this question about the degree to which Israel influenced our entrance into the war. You've expressed some concern with people scapegoating Israel. Said it's important that people don't kind of put this decision on Israel. The Times today has a story where Benjamin Netanyahu was in the Situation Room February 11th and making a pitch to Donald Trump about what their plan was for the war. Trump was impressed with that pitch, according to the New York Times reporting. There were others in the administration who were saying that Bibi was too optimistic about the potential outcomes for regime change and otherwise. And it just seems just like the basic fact is that Israel encouraged us and influenced us to get into the war. Is that not right?
I didn't see that New York Times story. I think the question I asked at the committee, which is the question that I think is important, I asked this of the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, and then asked to see if DNI director Gabbard agreed, was what motivated our decision about protecting the United States of America, that we made our decision, or was it because it some had reported because we were, you know, pushed into it by Israel or any other country? The answer was, no, this decision we made to protect the interests of the United States of America.
And it seems like we were pushed into it by Israel, though.
Everything I've seen on a classified side reinforces that. But of course, by the way,
seen, though, that you didn't know that Bibi Netanyahu was in the Situation Room making a pitch to Trump on this war?
I'm not invited to the Situation Room.
I would think that on the classified side, the Intelligence Committee, like, you guys would know that a foreign government was briefing the president on why he should enter a war, right?
No, Article 1 and Article 2, obviously. Article 1, the Congress. Okay. Yeah, we've got a classified place where we go, where we get briefed.
Sure.
The White House is, you know, a different article of the Constitution. They do their own thing, as you know. But it's very common to share intelligence with our allies. So if you're telling me if we were doing intelligence sharing and strategic sharing as we do with our allies all the time,
I'm saying that Bibi encouraged Trump to get into the war. I think that that's just a fact, isn't it?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I have no idea what was.
Do you think that we would be in the war if Bibi was against it?
Do I think that we thought there was a national interest for the United States of America to get involved here, which to protect America's national interests? Absolutely.
You think we would have gone alone? Would have done this war alone without Bibi's?
Again, you're asking me questions that I don't know the answer to.
Well,
I know what I asked. I know what I could. What I asked the head of the CIA, and I know what I asked the director of National Intelligence.
Well, you said you can't trust the director of National Intelligence, so I'm not that surprised that she would lie to you.
Director, but yeah, but it comports with what I've been briefed on. But it was the only public setting. The reason I asked that in a public setting is because we don't ever get a public, as you probably know. There's only. Yeah. Like, we don't often get a public setting to ask questions. Most of the stuff we do is in a classified setting below ground. It's not public.
I'm concerned about the increasing anti-Semitism in this country. I know you are. You've talked about it. And so it worries me. Like, I think that an average American.
That's why I'm not on Piker's show and on your.
Okay, we can talk about that next. I think that an average American would look at this war that we're in and say, I don't understand what our direct interest is. It's costing me more at the pump. We were not responding to a recent terror attack on us from Iran. Obviously, Iran's been attacking us for a long time through proxies. But like, if you're just an average American, you're like, I don't understand why we're doing this. I hear that Bibi Netanyahu was encouraging Trump to do it. I don't think that it's crazy for regular people to look at this in this country and say, okay, I mean, it seems like Israel was influencing us to get into this war. And I don't know why we can't just say that. I think it creates distrust when we can't just say what is true. Like, that's just true.
Tim, how do you know? But you're just asserting some to what you just did is exactly what I have a problem with. You are basing something on, like, we have no facts that you know that you weren't in the room.
I mean, you think the New York Times is wrong? There was a February 11th meeting in the Situation Room. Bibi was in the Situation Room. You think that's fake news?
Do I think the president and the prime minister have met and talked about Iran many times over the years, like President Biden did with the prime minister, like President Obama did with the prime minister, going back like to the beginning of time? Do I think people have talked about these threats together, our allies? Absolutely. Do I know?
He didn't talk to any other allies. He didn't talk to Japan. He didn't talk to Europe.
Do I know, like, actually what caused the decision? No. And by the way, the New York Times doesn't know. And the only people who know were people who were, like, in the decision inner circle about what actually made them make the decision.
So it seems like Bibi was in the decision inner circle. No, they planned it together.
When we have gone into other conflicts before, like Obama did, like Biden just did. Like, do you think that he didn't have consultation with our allies?
Of course he did. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand why people can't just say this. Why we can't just say it's true.
There's a huge difference between saying somebody made us do it. They pushed us into it versus saying, sure, we consulted with our allies and we thought it was what's best for America's national security.
What else would you call it? Besides pushed us into it or encouraged him, influenced, what else would you call it? Like, he was in the Situation Room making a pitch on the war 2 weeks before it started. What else would you call that?
I think many presidents, I know because I worked for a president, I think many presidents have met with world leaders and talked about whether or not we should get involved in something or not, if it was good for their national interests, but most importantly for America's national interests. And I think just because they had a meeting in the Situation Room, so big deal.
And it's a pretty big deal. We started a war that Donald Trump said he was running against the war. He said no war with Iran. He did not lay a predicate for the war. There was not an imminent threat.
So your view is like, listen, you got to do this. So your view is like, they just made us do it and we did it?
I didn't say made. No, you said made. I didn't say that. What I said is that I think that Bibi pitched. I think Trump was high on his own supply after Venezuela, and he thought this is easy to do this. And I think that Bibi Netanyahu. And I think he's like, this is easy, doing these little regime change things. This is fun. This is a lot easier than getting things passed through Congress. I got to deal with assholes like Gottheimer. So this, I can be the decision maker. I think Trump's really hot on it. And I think the Bibi went to him and said, hey, these guys in Iran, they tried to kill you. We've got great intelligence. We've got this plan. This could be the moment. They're very vulnerable. We can topple them. And Trump said, hell yeah, I'm on board. So I'm not saying that Trump has agency. I'm not saying that he was tricked or something, but I think that obviously, like, this is something that Netanyahu's wanted to do for a long time, and he made the case to Trump, and Trump said, I'm on board. Like, that I just think that obviously happened. No,
I guess history will find out. I have no idea.
Why do you think he did it? Like, why do you think he decided to get in right now?
I think
he was president once before. Iran was a threat then. He's been president for a year and 3 months. Why did he decide to do it now?
Because I believe, and this is actually what hopefully we'll find out ultimately, I believe he looked at certain threat intelligence against the United States of America and made a decision what he thought was best as the commander in chief, right? I think that's what happened. He looked at the facts,
thought there was a threat? Like, we had a threat? Like, an imminent threat on the homeland?
I mean, Tim, you're asking me to answer questions that I don't know the answer to.
Okay. Well, you said that based on intelligence, he looked at the threat assessment.
I think you're asking me how I think he made his decision.
I just think that if you're a regular American,
military and makes a decision.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably what he did.
Yeah. This is just very, I understand. I'm sorry. This is frustrating. I just think that it's like, if a congressman who is on the intelligence committee doesn't know why Trump decided to do it, and there's no tangible imminent threat. And Trump has been president once before, and he said he wasn't going to do a war with Iran. And all of a sudden, he's like, hey, I'm going to go to war with Iran. And the result is that American soldiers die and that people see a massive increase in their price of gas. Like, people are going to be like, what in the hell is happening? And I think that they would have a right to be upset about it. Don't you agree that people would be people should have a right to be upset about that? If, like, you don't even know why we did it.
By the way, what I said was, you asked me, like, what was the conversation? What happened in a strategic decision? I wasn't there, but I'll tell you this. What I said to you was, I've seen intelligence over time and seen threats from Iran and, like, where I see very deep concerns that people like me had. Do I know what ultimately made him make the decision, as you're asking me? No, I wasn't there. I wasn't in the Situation Room. This is why I actually believe the War Powers Act was triggered. I believe the president has 60 days to come to us to ask for an authorization of force or for a declaration of war. I think April 28th is coming up very fast. I think the expectation from all of us in Congress will be you will lay out exactly your objectives, your reasoning, your timelines, and your goals. And if you want funding, you will do the same thing. You either get an AUMF, or you will get a declaration of war, or you will get the hell out. And that's what I believe. And I think, by the way, where I started this conversation, Tim, was he still hasn't laid out clearly to me, to the American people, or to the Congress, what he hopes to achieve, what a win looks like for the commander in chief. There's only one commander in chief. There's not 635 or 535 or 135. There's only one commander in chief. And so I say that because he has to make certain decisions. He has access to certain information that I don't have. Even though I'm on the Intelligence Committee, I don't get access to all the military stuff. I don't get access to everything. The point is, the president should come make the case before the Congress. His people should come make the case. They should go before our committees. They should lay this out, the answers to the questions that you're asking and that I have questions about as well, and make the case to the public. And so you're asking me, like, what I'm pissed off about? That's what I'm pissed off about. Are you asking me, do I think Iran, the government deserves, do we deserve to take down the government of Iran, this regime who's killed tens of thousands of their own people and killed scores of Americans with death to America as their banner? Do I think they should get them? Absolutely. And that you asked me that as well. And I'm not changing my view on that. That's what my view is.
So that's the last thing then. So you're a gettable vote for authorization military force if they came to you and said, hey, here's what our plan is. After April 28th, we have another month. We need you to get a funding. Would you be open to voting for it?
I don't do hypotheticals. I want to know what the hell their argument is. I'll meet with them and understand where we are and get that information. And then I'll make a decision.
Well, not doing hypotheticals is an answer in itself, because it's not a no. You're not a no. Some people would just be a no right now.
By the way, that is deeply irresponsible to just say no that before getting briefed
Irresponsible to give Donald Trump, who threatened to end a civilization today, 1 cent for a war. That would be irresponsible.
Hey, Tim, if I learned tomorrow they had something that could cause mass destruction to you and to your family, I would have a very different view.
Well, of course. Nobody's even saying they have that.
That's why I actually would want to do my homework and understand what our military has to tell me about where we are, what the situation is. Right?
All right. I apologize. I wanted to do AI. I wanted to do Piker, but it's just, I'm just trying to get to the answer, because I guess this is the frustrating thing about this conversation. It's like, we're in this thing and they can't explain it. And so now we have to kind of process their incoherence. And to me, I just think it's much easier to oppose it. Yeah, it's very upsetting.
And we've got troops on the ground in harm's way. We've got a strait that obviously is not under our control. We've got ships that are stuck. Yeah, I mean, I'm very pissed off about the situation. But at the end of the day, I'm going to do my job. And that's what I feel deep responsibility to do my job.
Fair enough. We have a rain check for you to yell at me about Piker and do AI another time.
Better stuff. Come on.
What do you want to do? Okay, we can do it now. What do you want to do? I got nowhere to be. I was being respectful of your time. But we could do a rain check. We could do it now. Whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I have 5 minutes. It looks like
you have 5 minutes. All right, let's do it. I think that's fair. 5 minutes. You get to pick. Do you want to yell at me about Hassan Piker? Do you want to talk about AI? I'm concerned about AI. I'd love to hear you.
I'm not yelling about Hassan Piker unless you want to say that we should. Are you a big Hassan Piker fan?
I'm not a big Hassan Piker fan. I think that the Democrats should have a message for their audience, though.
Are you concerned? Like, and should we also go on Alex Jones and talk to him?
Well, I mean, I think that it would be probably pretty good for the Democrats to go on to some MAGA podcasts, America First podcasts, and talk to them about the ways that Donald Trump has betrayed them. Yeah, I think that would probably be good. I mean, you have to make a decision on a case-by-case basis. Some of these people are just trolls. But if somebody has to have a good faith conversation, yeah, sure.
I would not like to legitimize like Candace Owens.
I mean, Candace Owens is talking about how Brigitte Macron has a dick and like there's bees, the kill, you know, a bee cult. So I probably wouldn't do that one either. But if somebody disagrees, then that's fine.
Do I think we should legitimize people who are like white? Like, should people, Democrats, go on white supremacist shows and say, well, they deserve to be heard because they have a lot of followers? No, I mean, like, we should have a debate with them because they're like, you know, I that's just not what I believe. I don't believe you should legitimize people who are white supremacists. So like, I would not recommend that we go on a bunch of white supremacist shows because they have a lot of followers, right? Like, I don't think that's a good outcome for the country.
I think it's bad if you let all the cranks align onto one side. And sometimes, it's important to have a message for people. I'm not saying that, again, not legitimized. You can argue. We argued. You came on today. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with a good, healthy debate. But and I wouldn't go on some like basement podcast of some white supremacists nobody's ever heard of. But if there's a prominent America First person or a prominent far left person,
what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, exactly. So there's a prominent far left person that could hear an argument. I'm for that. I don't think the Democrats did this with any favors by being like burn the witch when Bernie went on Joe Rogan. I don't think that paid off. So I don't know. I'm for talking. I'm a talker. I'm a yapper, Josh.
People to profit and amplify insane views that are deeply offensive to lots of Americans, and like that's part of my concern, is not like giving legitimacy to them. And if yeah. What you're saying is you just go on and scream at them and tell them why they're crazy the whole time, then okay, maybe
I go on and try to be rational, make the case. I mean, again, this goes back to our earlier conversation about Israel. Like, I think that one way to give legitimacy to anti-Semitic cranks is to like tell them that they can't believe their lying eyes. Like, I think that conflating, you know, Jewishness with every decision that Bibi Netanyahu makes, I think gives ammo to anti-Semitic cranks.
I think the insane amount of disinformation that I see out there on a daily basis about Israel, about Jews, about different organizations is so insane. Like the fake shit.
There's a lot of bad info out there, no doubt.
Fake shit that's put out there on a daily basis, like, is so nuts. That like, I don't want to give more credibility to people who propagate bullshit and lies and disinformation. And I think we got to be very careful. I think we got to be very careful with that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't either.
We're going to do AI next time.
We're going to do AI next time. Okay, it was your fault. You got to pick. I was going to let you pick. Okay, Congressman Josh Gottheimer. Bro, thank you very much for coming on. See, having a disagreement across... perspectives.
Same party lines.
Same party lines. All right, brother. We'll see you soon. Okay.